through.
Okay, so going back to the original then, it's not three steps so much for the Christ to come back as it's three possibilities for the Christ to come back.
Yeah, if he comes back in a physical body of his own, it'll be three steps. If he just does overshadowing, then we got just
two steps.
So we're not. So the atom bomb was the first.
Well, the atom bomb was a sign.
Right.
Yeah, the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Right. And from that point on, they're looking for opportunities to do overshadowing.
Gotcha.
And develop the Christ consciousness idea. So it becomes a true teaching. So it has true meaning for people. And people are beginning to understand it a little bit better all the time. You know. Okay. Yeah.
So when you see Christ on TV, will you let us know so we can tune in?
No.
Well, it's amazing the number of people that are claiming to be Christ these days.
Really?
Yeah. Whenever somebody finds one on the keys, they usually post, "Hey, this guy thinks he's the Christ," and I always check him out. It's kind of fun. There's this guy in Russia who claims to be the Christ. He's got a community of 3,000 people. He's gathered together in Siberia in a kind of a wasteland. He's kind of turned it into an oasis. He's very controlling, though. What you want to look for these guys, the first question you want to ask is, how controlling are they? You know, are they like the beast, or are they like the Christ? And this guy, his intentions is good, but he's very controlling, tells people who to marry and stuff like that. That's always goes through their heads. Then there's a video of this other guy that claims to be the Christ, and he reminds me of this comic. What's the name of that comic there? The one that was very irreverent. Dark hair, leather jacket, smoked a cigarette.
Oh, Andrew Dice Clay.
Andrew Dice Clay, yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know why I couldn't think of. Yeah. They made a video of this guy claims to be the Christ. He's smoking a cigarette, got a leather jacket, and puffs away on it. And talks, cusses like the Dickens, and tells us how everything's going to be. It's really kind of funny. I wrote to the Keys. I thought, of all the people who claim to be Christ, I said, this guy's the most interesting.
Conservative talk radio has the Jesus Christ show.
Yeah.
Well,
oh, really? Yeah, then there's this other guy claims to be... There's a couple people claiming to be the Antichrist. Okay, we got time for one or two more principles. Look over the list. Tell me something else.
What's divine carelessness?
What?
Divine carelessness.
Divine carelessness. I got to tell. That's an interesting phrase. I come across it reading the Alice A. Bailey books.
And he used
the phrase divine carelessness once. He talked about the disciple is sometimes divinely careless. I thought that's an interesting statement. The divine carelessness, and I think he used it twice in all of his books. And I thought, that's a fascinating thing. And he doesn't explain what it is. So I contemplated it. As I was contemplating it, I was giving classes. Artie came to a class I was giving, and I had a couple notes in my hand, and I was going to give us a presentation to the group, and I looked down, and this is before we were married or going together or anything, and I wasn't really happy with what I prepared. I thought, well, it's not really a great subject. I don't even remember what it was. And I looked down at the audience, and there was Artie looking up at me, and she gave me this look. And it was like she was expecting something wonderful. And she was expecting me to razzle-dazzle her with spiritual knowledge of some type. And I looked at my notes, and I looked at her, and I thought, this won't work. I got to give this away. And then I thought, well, what can I talk about? And I've been contemplating the subject of divine carelessness, and I thought, divine carelessness, that's what it is. And so I talked for over an hour on divine carelessness, and it was the best speech I'd given in my life. And I didn't have it recorded. It was really, I really felt almost like I was overshadowed when I gave it, almost. It was really wonderful. And then then afterwards I went and I flopped myself between her and a little lady was sitting next to her, and I flopped myself between them and put my arms around both of them, just being friendly. And all of a sudden, like, something zapped us, and both of us felt a spiritual energy go around us. And we still refer to that night as that Thursday night. We still remember it was on a Thursday. I took her outside afterwards, and she said something interesting to me. She says, "You made love to our minds." And I thought, wow, that's the best compliment I've had in my life. So one of these days I'm going to have to give another speech on divine carelessness to see if I can do it again. But I felt kind of divinely careless at that time, because I guess I was divinely careless, because I fell in love with her and at that moment, and 3 days later I told her we were going to get married. I didn't propose, I just said we're going to get married.
So it's basically taking risks that your soul is saying are a good idea, even though they don't make sense.
Right. In other words, the person with soul contact will appear careless to other people. He'll do stuff that doesn't make sense. Like when I pursued Artie just after instant soul contact, I knew that she was going to be my next wife. It seemed divinely carelessness to everybody around us, especially to her friends and relatives. And her ex-husband was, when her daughter was so upset, she called everybody in her phone list and told him that she was in love with this crazy man that was like Jim Jones, that made everybody drink the Kool-Aid. He was a cult leader. And she was afraid for her mom's life and everything. And man, and boy, our friends and people come out of the woodwork to tell Artie, "Well, you're absolutely crazy if you want to pursue this guy. You know, he sounds like, by the what your daughter says, he must be totally mad." And so she had a lot more pressure than I had, and so. Matter of fact, I thought to myself at that point, well, this is the way it usually goes. Somebody is about to make a step that's going to be a good spiritual step, and then forces pull them back, and then they yield to those forces, and I never see them again. So there's a good chance I'm never going to see her again. And then she calls me up one night, and she says, "I think we're going too fast. I think we need to lay back and just lay low for a while." And I said to her, "How do you feel right now?" She says, "Oh, I feel really concerned and upset, and I just need to get some peace." I said, "Well, you know, when we were together and we shared spiritual energy, you felt peace, didn't you?" She says, "Yes." And I says, "And now as I'm speaking to you now, you feel peace right now, don't you?" Because I could sense that she was feeling something as I was talking to her. She says, "Well, yes." I says, "Do you want to go in the direction of the peace or in the direction of the confusion? Where do you want to go?" She says, "I want the peace." And so, to her credit, she's one of the few I've met that never reversed herself. I mean, she just went ahead in the direction of the peace. Now, I don't always give her peace now, you know. I give her a little rough time every now and then, but overall, we've done our best to stay on the spiritual course together. And so everybody around her saw that as extreme carelessness. But to her soul, it was divine carelessness. It was divine carelessness. It actually wasn't carelessness from the viewpoint of the soul, but it's like taking in consideration the way other people look at it. Is that when you follow the direction of the spirit or the soul, people around you will think you're being careless. But because you're following a divine spiritual will, you're being divinely careless. Whenever you try to move forward and move ahead, there will be a negative force of equal proportion trying to pull you backwards. Whether it be just doing something simple like losing weight, quitting smoking, or whatever to establishing Christ consciousness to marrying a spiritual mate or teaching a group or whatever you do. If you're moving forward, you'll have an equal and opposite force pull you back. It's all, we could probably call it Isaac Newton's spiritual law of gravity. And most people yield to that force that pulls them back. Most people will, they'll try maybe 10 times moving forward, they'll go back 9 times, and then eventually they'll think, well, this time I got to see it through. And then the 10th time, they'll finally plunge ahead. But I've seen it time and time again, people given spiritual opportunities get discouraged because there's always a lot of things that happen around them that make them think that they're being careless. But really, they're being divinely careless if they're following the soul. Now, others, if sometimes you follow your own emotions and you are doing something careless. If you fall in love with some cocaine dealer just because he's a kind of exciting and marry him, you are being undivinely careless. So we want to throw that out. We want to make sure you're in harmony with the spirit when you're doing something that other people think is careless.